Support for Dice and Desire is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. So join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. 20% off and free worldwide shipping when you use the code DESIRE20 at manscaped.com. And if my maths is correct, that's about 8 million balls. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped arrives with their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a handsome little travel bag to keep it all together and tidy. And speaking of keeping your bag tidy, I've recently had the chance to get to grips with the Lawnmower 4.0. I've long been a keen down-there curly hair remover, and Manscaped has levelled up that experience, giving me the quickest, safest, smoothest trim of my life. Manscaped provides the full package for your package. You can trim them, spritz them, keep them fresh, and finally hop into a pair of fresh boxers. Manscaped has you sorted, start to finish. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code DESIRE20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code DESIRE20. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Tiefling's residence, alerted by the hue and cry of the half-orc's recklessness. Gargoyles fly with rage and fury, plan to show politeness, swept aside with one swift kick. Insists he meant to softly poke. I insist he is a these stony terrors, like petrified rain gargoyles, unexpected gargoyles. We did not predict gargoyles striking from the sky. Gargoyles now must die. Our plan to greet this warlock with grace spoiled before it starts. You're only as bright as your dimmest light. We fumble in the dark. As soon as they arrive, the gargoyles retire. What on earth do you think you're doing in Dice and Desire?
After a few seconds of silence, the front door opens and out steps a tiefling gentleman. I repeat, what on earth do you think you're doing?
We were coming to see you at the house when these gargoyle things came down to attack us. And have you heard about our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ?
I remember I was trying to fix your gate. It was a little bit rusty, and I nudged it, and then all of a sudden, gargoyles.
I literally replaced that gate yesterday morning. It's not rusty at all. And as for the gargoyles, Thrasher and Basher would only attack anyone.
Oh, what a great start to this episode.
Thrasher and Basher would only... we've been away for a month, guys. This is what happened. We've all sort of forgotten how fun it is actually to play D&D. And just use... I mean, that's not even the worst names I've ever used.
Did you have those pre-prepared, or was that just a...
No, hang on, let me just put this Beano away. Thrasher and Basil.
Just change it, because it would never
two,
work.
My two gargoyles wouldn't attack anybody unless they were, if unless they were breaking in. So again, what on earth are you doing here? And he points to Gregor Bell. Do not bring this religious nonsense to me again.
I mean, rude.
You say rude. It's 9 o'clock in the evening, and a group of strangers are bringing themselves into my property.
Well, it's perfect time to catch you in. 9 o'clock. It's not dinner time. You're not going to be out at work.
By kicking in my front gate, by attacking my gargoyles.
To be fair, they attacked us.
May we presume, sir, that you are Hyeth Kolstag?
I think that's fairly obvious, isn't it? This is my house. I mean, do you see anyone else around here with property as decadent as this?
No, it is a magnificent property. That cannot be denied. The gate leaves a little to be desired, but the rest of the property is quite spectacular. We are here on a serious matter that we are hoping you might be able to help us with.
Serious, you say? A moment ago, you were laughing at the names of my two gargoyles. Sorry, no, that's not canon. That's not canon. Seriously, say, well, I am a serious man. Some would say I'm the most serious man in this town. What's the matter?
We want to talk to you about children. How do you feel about children? No.
Children, you say. Thrasher, Basher, back to your posts.
there are some young people from Tribor who have not been seen. Their parents are most worried about them.
They've been seen, just not for a while. At some point they were seen.
They exist.
They weren't invisible from birth.
Yes, they were seen, but recently they've not been seen.
We're speaking specifically about Alma Widdins, and as I say that name, I'm looking at him to see what his reaction is.
His reaction is, go on.
Well, Alma Widdins is the young girl. Her being missing from home is not ideal. Her parents are very worried about her, and we're just trying to see if we can help. And we, as you are an incredibly important man, an incredibly important figure in the town, as you have taken great care to appraise us of, then we thought it would be a good place to start to come and speak with you.
Excuse me for being blunt, but I've not seen your faces around town, therefore I presume you to be strangers. If you don't mind me asking, what on earth business is it of yours to be looking into this matter and indeed bringing it to my doorstep?
Krill coughs to draw the attention to him. Begins like a drum roll on his lap, on his thigh, and announces,
"But sir, we are the what's the word, Dabov?"
I don't fucking know where you're going with this.
I think he meant circus.
We're the circus. That's the circus.
We're the circus.
The circus. There's an echo.
Circus.
Right. Again, this circuses doesn't really lend itself to serious matters.
The circus has come to town.
You asked us our business, and the thing about business is there is no business like show business, and there is no show business greater and grander than the circus. So when we talk about business, sir, and we talk about a serious business, do not underestimate the seriousness of the circus.
The circus.
And the circus.
There is no business more profitable than the theft and abduction of children. So we think this is important, not only from a monetary standpoint, but also those poor, grieving parents and all the money they're losing from having their children confiscated.
What?
What was that?
Yep. Yep. Losing kids costs you money. When you he turns to Quinch and says, "Why are you bringing this subject of profit to this conversation? You see the grand house, you see the clothes upon me, and you think that I'm perhaps profiteering from children?"
No, I think whatever business you're involved in must be incredibly successful and must be publicly successful to have as much rich wealth and clearly visible decadent taste such as yourself. I think it's quite remarkable.
And he sort of raises his eye at. I think he can look at Dabolf and expect. Sorry, not Dabolf, Dweezil, and expect Dweezil with his attire and the way he holds himself to have said these things. But to have seen this Dragonborn praising him, can you roll me a charisma check, please?
Charisma. Ooh, 15.
Yeah, he's quite the arrogant guy who likes praise being bestowed upon him, and I think he believes you when you say, you know, that you can see the decadence in his surroundings. Ah, interesting. Maybe you're not quite the fools that you appear to be. Would you like to come inside and we can discuss this further?
I'd love to come inside whenever invited.
Brilliant.
Excellent. Please step inside. And he turns around. At this point, the two gargoyles that I shan't name have gone back to their posts. And he walks fairly gracefully, I guess, back into his house, leaving the door open. Are you all joining him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go. Yeah. I'd like to start a little bit of chit-chat with him just on the way in.
So what type of stone are the gargoyles made from? I noticed they've got a particular glisten to them.
Scrambling around to name any type of stone whatsoever.
They look like marble.
Yeah, they're definitely marble gargoyles. They're marble gargoyles. Marboils. They're marboils. That's what I was going to say. Do you like them? No, this is getting weird.
Yes, they're lovely.
Yeah. I think one of them might have just taken a little chunk out of your shoulder somewhere. He looks down and sees a little dusting of marble. Marboil. I can't even say the word anymore. Marble on your armour.
How big is the piece of marble on?
Oh, it's dusting. It's
oh, marble dust.
Marble dust. Yeah, you gonna put it in your inventory?
Yeah, I think I'll add that.
He's gonna try and sell that as drugs later. So he walks in. The rest of you joining him?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
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 You walk into what is, God, I hope I've described this as such before, a foyer, a reception room, tiled flooring, black and white.
Is that marble as well?
No, just linoleum. this is... no, it's not marble, it's whatever flooring you use. I should know everything in the world, but sadly I don't. Whatever appropriate flooring would be for a guy like this, but not marble.
I'd have thought marble would have been appropriate, but fine.
Is it specifically not marble?
Specifically not marble.
Yeah. That makes me suspicious. We'll come back to this detail later.
Please do.
And absolutely overanalyze it.
Please do. It really means absolutely nothing. Big open room. There are some Dabolf was looking for shoes. You see some nice, well, fairly gaudy and fairly over-the-top shoes, like very sort of flamboyant shoes on the floor, but no children's shoe, which you were looking for previously, I believe. You see, in front of you, you see stairway leading up both sides of the foyer up to the upstairs. And then you see off, you see a couple of doorways off to your left and a couple of doorways off to your right. Hyeth lead you through to the room that actually Davoff, you saw him sitting at previously, which is a library with a few books lining the walls. And there's only three chairs available, one of which he sits in, leaving two for you. I don't know who wants to take those chairs, if anyone.
Krill barges through, dibs, and then sits down in whichever chair is closest.
Okay, so Krill takes one chair. Anyone else want to sit down?
Nah.
Could you remind me what your name is, please?
Is he talking to Krill?
Talking to the gentleman whose house we just entered.
My name is Hyeth Kolstag.
Do you have an easier to remember nickname?
Hyeth.
I'm going to call him Flasher. sticking with the convention.
They call me Shorty. And your names, apart from the circus, which is, can I just say, the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard?
Thank you. My name's Quinch, the bringer of omens.
Thank you, Quinch. And the rest of you?
Well, I can only presume you already know who I am. After all, us magic types all know each other. And I am the most impressive sorcerer that you will ever meet.
You're a sorcerer?
Yes.
Why on earth would I know a sorcerer?
Ooh. Wow! Ooh. Boom! Roasted.
That is true. We do go around in higher circles than you warlocks, so I can understand why you wouldn't know us.
Ooh. Boom!
Are we just in the background, just like hands over our mouths, like digging up Greg?
Magic roasting. If you say so. Little sorcerer, but anyway.
I am Gregamel Wells, and yes, I was going to say a pleasure to meet your acquaintance, but I may be rescinding that.
No, it's a pleasure for neither of us.
Krill produces a smoking pipe from God knows where. He's lit it, just because it's funny to imagine.
I am Krill T'Zula, son of Rul T'Zula.
Is this another item that you just added to your inventory just because, like your monocle that just appeared out of nowhere one day? Or do you actually...
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Right, okay. So Krill's got a bag of holding that he's not told you about. Okay, that's three of you.
Wait, is there a fireplace? I'm really, like...
There is a fireplace, yes. Yeah, sorry, so there's a fireplace crackling away. It's not a huge room by any means. It's big enough as a nice, like, place to take guests. And obviously, as I say, it's a library, so obviously he tends to sit here on his own reading away.
Krill is suddenly adorned in a smoking jacket.
Suddenly. Excellent. Okay. I mean, this guy is already wearing a smoking jacket, so you're in good company.
Not anymore.
You're just stealing yourself. And the other two of you?
After you, Dweezil. Oh, shit, I kind of introduced you now, haven't I?
Yes, my friend is correct. My name is Dweezil van der Veer.
Well, that just leaves you then, I guess, little guy.
I'm going to walk over and shake his hand, and I'm going to attempt to pickpocket him as I do while introducing myself as Davoff.
And do a backflip?
No, I'm going to keep things subtle on this one, but okay. I'm going to reveal what I'm doing when pickpocketing after it's successful or not, if that's okay.
Okie dokie. He looks at your attempt to shake his hand, and he very, very sort of lightly and gingerly takes the hand as if he doesn't really want to be shaking your hand at all. Like he's taking it for civility's sake, but really doesn't really want to be doing it.
I'm gonna quite aggressively grab his hand and give it a thorough good shaking. Partly to distract him from the fact that I'm trying to rummage through his pockets, but also kind of out of spite, out of the his recoiling from my, quite frankly, polite gesture.
Okie dokie. feel free to do that then. So roll your sleight of hand then, please.
I remember, well, actually, when I was burgled, the first thing I remember thinking was, God, I'm overwhelmed by the manners of these people.
I got 23.
You are successful, but could you also roll me a constitution saving throw, please?
Interesting. 20, but not a natural 20.
You take one fire damage.
Interesting. That actually works kind of in my favour, if I'm honest.
Okay, fair enough.
My plan is not to steal from his pocket, but to leave a nuggy in there. And now it's a cooked nuggy.
Okay. fine. Are you going to tell him about the nuggy? Is that a little surprise for him at bedtime?
A little surprise for later. He might be hungry as he goes to bed.
You know he's going to steal your invention now. He's going to claim that he invented the nuggy.
Oh.
I just hope he's not vegan.
or let's hope he is.
And lastly, I would like to introduce the greatest member of our party.
And I interrupt to say Vin.
Sebastian, who also has a pipe and a smoking jacket.
Fucking hell.
Sebastian?
Did you bring Sebastian with you?
I don't know. It's been a month. Where would I have left him?
I don't know. We've
got a bunch of fucking horses that we've not spoken of in probably 3 months real lifetime.
Has Sebastian moved up the rankings in terms of your favourite now? Do you like him more than you like Mosey?
Well, Mosey's not here. Mosey is here, isn't he?
Is he? Fuck. I would like to introduce you to the two most important members of our party, Mosey and Sebastian, both wearing smoking jackets and have pipes.
He looks at Mosey, he looks at Sebastian, he looks back at Krill, he looks at the rest of you. And you sort of just about hear him mutter to himself, if this is who's looking for the kids, they've got no fucking hope.
Sorry, what did you say about the kids? We heard you mutter that we've got no hope if we're the ones looking for the kids.
Yes, actually, that is what I said, quite honestly.
Dabov's going to lean in and just completely straight face and just say, sometimes it takes children to find children, and then just sits back in his chair.
Very profound. He's right. Let's just. It is getting late. Let's get this charade over. I've invited you in for pleasantries to be civil because I didn't want really to see anybody, anybody to see you and think that you were guests of mine. So I wanted you out of the way so no one saw you. Tell me more about why you're here and why it seemingly is my problem.
I think at this point, Greg's just going to come out straight to him and go, well, in all honesty, we are after the children. We heard that you were the last to be with Alma, the missing girl, and we have come to you for information on her whereabouts, or why indeed she would be with you.
I've never spent any time with Alma whatsoever. I don't understand where you're getting this information from, but I suspect it's more slander and bad-mouthing from those peasants down the road.
Does anyone have like a truth, a bit lie detector? Yeah.
I feel like the fact you refer to them as peasants might be the reason they don't like you.
And by any case, why would they slander you? Why would they be saying bad things about you?
Well, I mean, they're stupid bints, aren't they, to be honest?
Are you aware of any other tieflings? Because we, on our investigation, trying to find and recover these children, we have heard that this girl was maybe having teachings of magic with a handsome and well-adorned tiefling character, and we don't know any others in this vicinity. Is that? I don't know if that sounds like you or not.
I listen, I can see what you're doing. It's partially working. But no.
regardless, Hyeth, of whether or not you have had anything to do with Alma's disappearance, and regardless of whether you think that we are fit and suitable for searching for these children, as it stands, to the best of my ability, nobody else is to the best of my understanding, nobody else is stepping up to try and find these young people and do the right thing. We are the people that are stepping up. If you know anything, if you can help us in any way, if you can tell us anything about Alma, where she may have gone, anything that you know about it, or even about poor Torrand, it would help us very much. And God knows we need help.
And also, it would get us out of your house a lot quicker.
Well, there is that.
I like this last part very much. I have nothing to do with this. I have no knowledge of where these children are. And as I said, this is just bad-mouthing coming from the Widdens. She came to me a few months ago and asked me if I would give her daughter magic lessons, like I'm some sort of dancing monkey, like that Rippington fellow. Like, why on earth did she think someone such as myself would look at this house? Do you think this house was built off the money of magic lessons for 13-year-old girls? Of course it wasn't. Of course it wasn't. I'm not going
to be... I mean, you are kind of talking sense. I mean, who would go to a warlock for magic lessons anyway?
Hang on, are you saying that the mother came to you?
Yes, she approached me. Her daughter was getting interested in magic, and she thought that I would deign myself to do such a menial task for her for payment. I agreed, of course. I said that I'd give her the presents. I took her money to teach her a lesson. But I'm not going to do magic lessons for a child. What do you think I am?
Quinch leans into Dweezil.
I thought that the parents weren't approving of this individual. Is this new information to us?
It's certainly the impression that I got, Quinch, yes.
I'm going to ask him, you've mentioned Mr. Rippington, how do you know him?
Rippington? I mean, everyone knows about Rippington. He's the crass fellow that does magic shows all around. He's a facade of magic. People think that he's something quite wonderful, and truly is just a bloke doing tricks.
Have you seen him recently?
No, I'll be honest, I've never seen him. I just know his reputation and know that he's a fraud, to be honest. He's no warlock like myself.
Could I ask, would you mind showing me a magic trick?
No. You can ask, but I'm not a performing monkey. I don't do these things for your entertainment.
And how can we compare your magic to his and believe that you are as great as you say you are without proof?
I'll be brutally honest, I don't understand what the accusations are and why on earth you think that my
Maybe
magical...
You're overselling yourself.
But does that matter? Does that have any relevance to anything that's going on right now? As I said, if this is the line of questioning you're taking over these children's disappearance, then they are lost forever. And that is basically what I told Cyrene. She came to me recently asking about whether I'd seen them. I think she was just looking for information. I thought it funny to tell her that I'd sacrificed the poor girl.
Were you alone when you spoke to her about this? Was it just you and her alone?
When I told her that I'd sacrificed the daughter. Yes, she came knocking at my door in tears. I found it funny because of our previous relationship, just to mock her situation.
Is this the same woman? This is the mother of Alma?
Yes.
Indeed, Cyrene Widdens, yes. Of course, I did not sacrifice her daughter. I have no interest in her daughter. I have no interest in teaching her. I have no interest in using her for magic. I have no interest in most of the people in this town, and they should be thankful that I am here elevating the name of Tribor.
Why are you here then? Why settle here?
Land seems a suitable place for me to put up this wonderful house. Other places wouldn't have me.
Do you not have troubles with giants around here?
Seems a tangential question, but I've not seen any giants. I know the town has had its history with giants, but certainly not while I've been here.
You said you don't do menial magic tricks for money or what have you, but what do you do for money? Clearly this house didn't pay for itself. It is quite magnificent. Must have cost a pretty penny.
Very comfy chairs.
It's very difficult. I'm not sure that I should be saying, really, but I would, if I had to put it into any sort of context, protection.
Well, the rumour around town is that you are the leader of the Black Serpents.
The Black Serpents? Who are they?
Sorry, I may have misspoken there. I meant the Black Wind Serpents, the tribal travellers.
The Black Wind Serpents?
Hmm.
Do you mean the tribal travellers?
Yes,
that's the only
yes.
black. That's the only black serpents that I'm aware of in town.
That is what he said. Yes.
Yes.
Well, no. To my best of knowledge, they're a business that operates out of tribal, taking people to a couple of places. I have no business interests with them. I've seen their leader Erlem, their business owner, I should say. I've seen their business owner a few times around town. I know him well enough to nod and say hello, but other than that, we're not close in any way. I have no connection to them at all. And I'll be honest, I have no connection to the Widdens as you came here. I have very little connection to many people in this town. This is purely a place for me to put up roots and build this house and settle down and use as a base for future operations.
I'm not going to lie to you, Hyeth. Cyrene. Cyrene did not say to us that she had hired you. In fact, quite the opposite. She said she was suspicious of you. So, I believe that you are a truth-telling gentleman. I can tell from your demeanour and your taste in fine furnishing, soft and hard, that you are a straight shooter, and this makes me suspect Cyrene.
Well, I don't think I'd go quite that far. I doubt very much she killed her own daughter, but I can assure you I had nothing to do with her disappearance, nor any disappearance of any children in Tribor, or indeed anywhere around here, or even further afield, or anywhere else that you can imagine. I just want to make it clear, I have not disappeared a child anywhere.
Your word is good enough for me. I'm now going to spend the rest of my time here admiring the rich scents of your assorted woods.
Please do. You look like a guy who enjoys scents.
Yeah, Quinch wanders around the room to smell stuff.
I'll be honest, I feel that this has dragged on.
I've got two questions for you, Hyeth. I asked you before, if you were tasked with finding these children, what would you do? And my second question for you is, are you aware of any other strange people in the town recently? I'm thinking specifically of a hooded figure.
I mean, you ask me of strange people in town. I see five in my library.
Yeah, this is why I specified any other strange people, Hyeth.
Semantics. And some antics. Hooded figure, I mean, plenty of people around town wear hoods, depending on the weather. I don't like to frequent town too often. I go in for what I need to do. Does anyone fit that? I suspect I may have seen somebody, but no one springs to mind. Nothing of interest, certainly. As for what I would do, I mean, I've never been tasked with looking for children. It's not my forte. I suspect all you can do is ask around, but I, as far as I understand, the Widdens and the young dwarf lady whose son's disappeared, they've been asking around for weeks, days and weeks, and none of them have come up with anything. So I suspect that both children are probably gone. By now, I'd like to think that someone would have been found, but do as you please. Anyway, I think this farce has gone on long enough. I don't think I can give you what you came here for. I think I've given you more time than you deserved. I've given you hospitality, and I'll be honest, I think it's about time that you all left.
We'll look around. Is everyone amenable to leave?
Yes, I'd just like to ask one final question, and I know it's perhaps quite forward. I know we haven't known each other very long, but I want to be like you. I want to learn from you, and I'd wondered if you would lend me your favourite book from this library.
Why would I lend you my favourite book?
I assume you've got multiple copies of your favourite book. That's the only reason I ask.
Because everyone does. They buy multiple copies of their favourite book. I won't give
you... I've got that one in a triple.
Good reference. Let me have a think. I won't give you my favourite book. That would be Mr. Sidney Poitier. Right. Let me just have a look. I can give you my fifth favourite book. And it's a book called The Dogs of Love by Trent Cars. So that's Trent Cars. Cars, that's a K-A-H-S.
Yes,
hyphen, then it's three N's, followed by a hyphen, two N's, followed by a hyphen, and then four N's.
Yes, I know him. That's very kind of you.
It's a wonderful fiction about two maids who fall in love with each other whilst dog walking.
Well, don't spoil it. That's wonderful, thank you.
Sounds like a real page turner.
Brilliant.
Can I please ask you to all leave now? Is this possible?
Do we not all get books?
Yeah. Any Tom Clancy or anything?
Quinch flies down the hall.
I bet that's just like papers just going everywhere if you're flying indoors.
He's put the fire out.
Falling off the mantelpiece and everything, like the fire billowing out to the curtains.
But just before you leave.
I feel like you should have done some sneaky sneakies while we were in here.
Yeah.
What, beyond the nugget?
Yeah.
Just before you leave, you actually see... You actually see him put his hands in his pockets. And then you see like a moment of sort of like realization, I guess, over his face. Like it doesn't change or anything like that. It's nothing significant, but you just sort of see like almost like when you see a friend who's just like noticed something or thought of something. He doesn't take his hands out of the pockets. But you do see his hands moving a little bit. And then he looks at Dabov immediately. And then he says, "If you could all leave." And then he turns to Dweezil and says, "Dweezil, would you mind a few moments of your time?" Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast app to ensure you don't miss any future instalments of Dice and Desire. And in the meantime, if you want to interact with us, come and find us on Twitter and Instagram @DiceandDesire.